Hey, yeah, thanks for having us. Thanks for being here. We are going to talk about How They Vote Today, which is an open source online platform which we've been maintaining since around 2020, on which we make roll call votes in the European Parliament more accessible. My name is Linus. I'm originally a software developer and now do some stuff related to policy and data science. And the other half of the project is Till, who's also a software developer. So the general idea about this project is that we take a bunch of data related to roll call votes or things happening in Parliament and combine them into a single data set that you can then search on our website. And we also do that quite fast. So once a vote has happened in the plenary, approximately 1 hour later, you will find it on our site, where you can then search for it, for example, by using keywords, whatever is of interest to you. But we also provide a bunch of more advanced filtering options. For example, you can look for votes based on the responsible commission of the whole procedure in Parliament, or you can also look for votes regarding specific topics, for example, climate change or taxation. Once you found the vote that is of interest to you, you can, of course, see how each individual MEP voted. This is to all of whom roll call votes is a meaningless term. That's exactly the deal of the votes, that we scrape votes where it's open, like where it has been recorded how each individual MEP voted. So you can take a look at that, but you can also take a look at like aggregates of that, so see how individual parties have voted or MEPs from specific countries. And we also have a page for each individual MEP where you can then see how, for example, the Conservative leader voted on climate change or your local MEP. And the whole data we collect for that, we also republish in a saner format than the original data, and under an open license for reusing. And we do that because the European Union is very important in all of our lives. Some examples we have already talked about today, right? You have the chat control thing that will eventually come back to the Parliament. You will have the digital omnibus that will come back to the Parliament. We had the Mercosur vote last week. And the special thing about the European Parliament as opposed to the other large institutions of the Union, like the Commission and the Council, is that these are people that have been directly elected by all of us, or most of us, and we think this is why it's especially important for people to be easily look up what MEPs voted on and how they vote. By republishing this data, we also make it available for others to do interesting stuff with that, which is something that luckily a lot of journalists do. For example, we brought one analysis by the EU Observer that dug really deep into who votes in favor of Russian interest in the European Parliament. You can also do a lot of other interesting things with the data. This is a voting device application built by a German NGO focused on digital politics for the last European elections. And by using the actual roll call vote data from the past term, this is super cool because the result in the end will not depend on what parties write in their manifesto. They will do, but it's actually based on what they did in the last term. That's what the project is about, basically. And now Till will tell us a bit about how it works.
Well, yeah, thank you. So as Lino said, roll call voting results are recorded and they are published on the Parliament's website. So this is an example of one of these voting lists for a single vote. In the top left, there's a small reference number for the text that this vote is about. And then in the gray header, you see a big plus sign, which means all the names that are listed below that you can probably not read them, but it's names of MEPs. These are the names of MEPs that voted in favor, for example, of these votes. And then it's actually grouped by their political group, so that's a little helpful, but it's still difficult to, for example, find out which MEPs from a specific country voted in a particular way. Thankfully, this data is also published in a machine-readable format as XML files, right? But the contents are still pretty much the same. So we use these XML files and we combine it with a bunch of other data sources. So for example, we use information about MEP's nationality or their political group and party affiliation from profile pages, which the European Parliament publishes on its website. And also Parliament publishes short press releases about at least interesting or somewhat relevant votes. And we try to match these press releases to the actual voting results so we can show a short summary of what a vote was actually about. And then there are a bunch of other data sources. I won't go into detail about all of them, but key is we use data from all of these different data sources and aggregate, integrate that together into a single data set that is searchable on our website. But as Linus already said, we also publish that so others can build upon this work and don't have to go through all of this data cleaning and integration process again. So taking just a bunch of data sources that are already available and combining them might sound relatively easy, but actually it can be quite challenging. For example, not all of these data sources use consistent identifiers across the source, so it's difficult to combine data from one source and match it to data from another source. And just in general, not all of the data that might be relevant is published in machine-readable formats. We've only talked about plenary roll call votes, but vote results from the committees in the European Parliament, for example, are still only published in PDF format, I think. And then more recently, we've also run into problems with the Parliament's websites or servers blocking us because they started using some sort of bot detection or anti-AI tools. We are actually quite responsible in how we scrape and download data, but apparently we are just some sort of collateral damage in this AI arms race here. So these are just a few of the challenges we've encountered, and if you're in the same boat as us, if you're also working with plenary data, or if you're working in the administration on plenary data, then we'd really like or love to talk to you and exchange knowledge and talk about these challenges. Also, if you have a very good and deep understanding of, for example, the rules of procedure of the European Parliament, that would be really useful to us, because sometimes, as an outsider, it can be quite difficult to understand all the details of the process. And then, if you are a journalist, if you are a researcher, if you are an activist working in an NGO, and you think this data could be useful for you or the tool could be useful for you, please talk to us. We'd love to hear about your use case, especially if you're working in NGOs, to make it more useful for your work. And finally, if you know of any funding options or grant programs that could be a good fit for us, please also let us know. Most of the work on this project is on a voluntary basis, although we've been lucky enough to receive some funding through grant programs in the past. We will be here for the rest of the day, or at least for a couple more hours. So if you want to talk to us, please approach us or just reach out via one of these contact channels and we can meet up. Of course, you can also reach us after the conference. As I said, we'd love to hear from you. You can also follow us on Blue Sky or Mastodon, where we post short updates about the project when we add new data or new features. But we've also started posting short summaries of plenary sessions and highlighting interesting votes there. So if you're interested in that, you might want to consider following us. And that's already the end of our presentation. Thank you very much for coming.